boy king. Once upon a time, there was a king, but he was a very young king. He may have been the youngest king in the world, but he was also the king of a very big country. On the first day of being a king, he sat on the throne with a big gold crown on his head and wondered what he had to do. There were lots of people coming forward and bowing very low and saying how pleased they were he was the king. Then they would bow even lower, almost with their noses scraping the floor, and move away backwards as they left the room. The boy king thought this was very funny and laughed quite loudly. But his mother, who was the queen, frowned. Kings were not supposed to laugh at their people. Her son would have to learn how to be a king quickly. The next day, when the king came downstairs, an old man, bowing low like the others, came forward. He was the teacher the queen had chosen to teach the king how to be a king. But after 10 minutes of the first lesson, the young king was terribly bored. "Stop!" he cried. The teacher, of course, stopped, because when the king speaks, everyone has to obey. When the queen heard what had happened, she tinkled. She tinkled because she was so annoyed she trembled with rage, and because she wore long, dangly silver earrings, they tinkled. So the queen sounded like a rattly tin can when she strode into the king's chambers. "I shall not have any more lessons," cried the king. The queen stopped. Even the queen has to obey when the king speaks. So for the first time, the queen had to obey her son. The young king now realized how much power he had. "Bring me 100 ice lollies," he ordered his servant. Within an hour, a van drew up outside and 100 ice lollies were delivered to the palace. "What am I going to do with 100 ice lollies?" wailed the cook. "I don't have that room in the fridge." "I want to play football," cried the king. "Bring me 200 footballs." When the footballs arrived, the gardener was furious. 200 footballs," he shouted. "My garden shed is much too small. I won't get them all in." "I like television," snapped the king. "I like watching all the programmes. So bring me 300 televisions." The televisions were all lined up in the courtyard, with the servants trying desperately to find rooms for them in the palace. "Don't forget, I like video games," warned the king. And so the next day, 300 video games kept the servants busy all day fixing them to the televisions. During all this, the queen was walking around the palace and finding all sorts of things wrong. "This room has not been dusted," she grumbled. "This mirror has not been polished," she grumbled again. "And this floor has not been swept." When she heard how the king had been ordering so many things that the servants didn't have time to do the housework and kept them very, very busy, she started to tinkle again. But how do you tell a king anything? How do you tell a king to stop buying things? "Today, I want 45 scooters, 15 pet dogs, 30 ice creams, and an elephant." When the queen heard what the young king was ordering, her tinkle turned into a clanging as she shook from head to toe in anger. Her son had turned into a greedy little boy. This could not go on. Apart from filling all the rooms in the palace, he was taking all the servants' time and they could not do their work. But how do you tell a king to do anything? How do you tell a king to stop buying things? The queen paced up and down in her bedroom for many hours, searching for an answer. But it was not until she saw the elephant in the hallway that she had a brilliant idea. "Now I want 20 chocolate cakes, 10 fishing rods, 90 football shirts and a water pistol." The king was ordering lots and lots more things. That night he went to bed with 5 storybooks, 3 cups of cocoa and 3 hot water bottles. And as soon as he was asleep, with all the servants, the queen got to work. The next morning was bright and sunny. The king, warm and comfortable, in a shaft of sunlight, pressed the bell for his servants. But nothing happened. No one arrived. So he pressed the bell again. Still no one came. "Where is everybody?" he shouted. Nobody was allowed to keep the king waiting. Jumping out of bed, he ran across his bedroom and wrenched open the door. With a gasp of amazement, his mouth dropping open, he jumped back. His doorway was completely blocked. There were scooters, football shirts, televisions, footballs, and other bits and pieces all piled on top of each other. "I can't get out," wailed the king, pulling away the shirts and footballs and scooters. With a big push, he cleared a space beside the door and stepped into the hall. Yuck! His bare foot squelched into something cold and soft and then skidded on the floor. "What an awful smell," he squeaked. With another push at the huge pile of things blocking his doorway, he suddenly let out a shriek. 10 jets of water from water pistols smacked him straight in the face, the cold water running down and soaking his pyjamas. "Help," cried the king. "I'm wet, I smell horrible, and I can't move." But again, no one came. The king sank to his knees in a pool of wet, sticky liquid that was coming from 100 melting ice lollies. No matter how hard he pushed against all the things he had ordered, the weight of the scooters and the televisions were far too heavy for him to move, even an inch. Furious, he marched across his bedroom to the window. The queen was sitting in the garden, talking to the gardener. "Mother, I cannot get out of my room. Could you please have everything moved from my door immediately?" "I'm sorry, Your Majesty," the queen laughed, "but we cannot even get into the palace anymore. It's completely filled with everything you've ordered." "Then get me another palace," he yelled. Now, palaces cost a lot of money, even a lot of money for a king. "We cannot afford another palace." The prime minister of the country was shocked when the queen told him the latest thing the king had ordered. Now, the prime minister looks after the government, and the good government looks after everything in the country. "We cannot buy anything else for the king. We've nearly run out of money," moaned the prime minister. "But how do you tell a king to stop buying things? You just cannot." "I have an idea," said the queen. "Leave it to me." With the servants, they slowly cleared the hallway to the king's bedroom. "Where's my new palace?" demanded the king. Instead of answering him, the queen showed him a picture of an island. The sky was clear blue, the sunshine bright, with beautiful palm trees and a gorgeous sandy beach. "I want one," snapped the king. "Just like that. I want an island like that." So instead of buying a palace, the government bought the king an island with a gorgeous sandy beach and beautiful palm trees, and it was much cheaper. "Very nice," snapped the king, stepping out of the royal boat onto the sandy beach. "Over there, I will have a football pitch, and I shall need a speedboat and a yacht. Oh, and yes, a couple of horses and a sand buggy." The list of kings the king wanted to buy went on and on. He walked up the path, off the beach, and into a wonderful villa. "I shall have another swimming pool over there, and between those trees, I want 10 hammocks." The king turned around to make sure there was a servant making a list of all the things he wanted. But there was no one. The villa was empty, the path was empty, the beach was empty, and the boat had gone. The king was all alone on the island, and his portable telephone did not work. But after a few days living alone, the king realized it was very peaceful to live in this place. There were no servants annoying him, no one teaching him how to be king, no queen tut-tutting behind him. He had everything he wanted, so he did not mind a bit that he was all alone. And once a week, a boat would arrive in the night when the king was asleep and leave food and everything else the king needed before slipping away in the darkness before the king woke up. The queen was now very happy. Her son could not order any more things, and the prime minister was delighted. The country's coffers were filling again. And so the years passed, and the country grew richer, and the queen happier, and the king, even if he had a chance, would not leave his lovely island for a moment, which made the Queen happier and the country richer, as they all lived happily ever after.